This is Susan Stein, nutritionist from the Ripple Effect of Food. So the Ripple Effect of Food is a program designed for companies to help their employees with stress-related health issues. And talking about stress, today I've got Ricky McCown with me, and she is a meditation specialist. And we would like to talk about stress and meditation. A very, very big welcome to you, Ricky.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for having me today. I'm looking forward to discuss stress and meditation and food, my favorite subjects.
Yes, so am I. So Ricky is the founder and the director of Collective Bliss, which is a company who provides tools and workshops to enable people to live a stress-free life. So that really fits in today. And Ricky is also in the process of producing a program called Giggling Geckos for practitioners to allow them to facilitate their own workshops for children. That sounds really amazing. I really like that concept, and I hope to talk about it a little bit later on, if that is okay with you.
I'd love to discuss
okay.
that.
We will do that at the end, if that's okay with you.
Yes.
Excellent. So, I do know you have a very strong background in Reiki, because as a client of you, I know I have encountered that, and it was really absolutely lovely. But you also do meditations.
Yes.
So let's start. What is meditation? Where does it come from?
Well, meditation's been around pretty much since the beginning of time. Since there have been Homo sapiens on this planet, there's been observational meditation. So meditation can go back 5,000 years. They've actually documented meditation, primarily in China and in India. So in India, they do a lot of mantra meditation, which most people are familiar with. So it's something that we all are familiar with. It really is as simple as breathing, and we just have forgotten to connect with it.
Mm. Okay. So would you say, like, was it prevalent in all countries or more in different countries?
I think it was prevalent in all countries. However, it's really been just documented mainly in those two countries, India and China, like I mentioned. But a lot of ancient civilizations have connected with meditation. And as I said, it could be observational. So it may not be mantra-based. It might be just honoring nature around you in that space and being mindful.
Okay.
So it may not have the same meditation focus that we're used to today, where we might have an om sound, or it might be just being present, just being aware of your environment, listening, smelling, hearing, which is something that would have been easy to do without the distractions of modern day today.
Yes, yeah, I can imagine that one. So that's an interesting one, because you also mentioned mindfulness a little bit. So what is then the difference between mindfulness and meditation?
So mindfulness is more observational, and that's how I would see mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And I believe there could be quite a few interpretations on how you would practice mindfulness meditation. And I think in general schools of thought, mindfulness is observational. So you're looking, you're present in that moment. You are aware of what is occurring in that space. Mm. And hence why we have the mindfulness drawings that are so popular at the moment. So you're just present, you're just drawing.
Okay, so there's a little bit more to it. With the coloring, or should be a little bit more to it. So you mentioned also mantra meditation. So there's different forms of meditation.
There are different forms of meditation, and there's been quite a bit of study on the various types, and the three forms that are known and have been documented. We have your breath meditation, which I practice a lot with, so that seems to connect children especially with their breath, which is a really good calming tool and getting them back into that space. We also have compassion meditation as well. So that is feeling and connecting from a space of compassion and thinking essentially compassionate thoughts in your meditation space. So Harvard University back in the 1970s did some studies on the different types of meditation and their effectiveness. And breath meditation was, and mantra meditation were quite effective in actually reducing stress. So when our bodies are stressed, our frontal lobe, our decision-making part of our brain almost goes on pause and stops working for that period of time. So the ability to make decisions when you're stressed is compromised by the fact that that part of the brain is on pause.
Oh, wow.
So what we do when we meditate, there is the part of our brain that will switch on and start to release hormones that will actually relax us, and we will not feel as stressed, and things will start to, you know, become a bit more sort of not flight or flight. We're a bit more calm. So that that has actually been researched and documented by several universities, but Harvard was one of the first to do that research.
To really acknowledge what it does to our body, to our physical body.
Scientifically, exactly.
That's really interesting, and it's good to know. I like a bit of science behind everything, and it's, I mean, you know, you notice the advantage of it, but it's interesting to know that they really acknowledge this.
I do love science validating what we do.
Yes.
On the surface, we can see that people are living more productive lives, and they're happier. They might be less addicted to things, to caffeine. That's what we see on the outside, but to know that there is a chemical or a physiological change that science can actually say this has occurred and we can measure it.
It makes it very tangible, I find. Yes, it's very. So you also mentioned, you know, we hear a lot also about gratefulness. Is it also part of, would you also group that in some sort of meditation?
You could group that into meditation. And so for me, when I do my meditations, it is a combination of everything. So it would be like an affirmation, so gratefulness. It would also be breath as well. And often for me, it's a process. So I will go through to connect with myself and to really reduce and calm my body down, breath meditation. So when I'm working with the children, we do the breath meditation first, and that really is a nice way to calm them and center them in their bodies, and then that's all they're focusing on. They're not focusing on anything around them, any noises. They're just in that moment concentrating on breathing in and feeling their chest rise, and then breathing out and letting that go. So it's really that simple. And then we can start working on some affirmations and some working around gratitude or mantras.
So you can just make it your own.
You can.
As much as possible.
Yeah.
Yes, that's, yeah, that's, it's really a powerful tool. Yeah. So, if I look at myself, I really think meditation is important. I do see what it does. I've read the research. I still struggle with the sitting still, with my mind going a million miles an hour, and then it just doesn't always work for me. Would you have some tips for me?
Sure. Okay. like I just mentioned, I think concentrating on your breath is a really good one to start with. And you can do that anywhere. You could be driving and you could be staring at the lights and feel your thoughts starting to carry away. And we've got to be really careful about listening to those thoughts as well. So using your concentration back into your breath, and just while you're sitting at those lights, while they're sitting red, just focusing your breath and bring you back into the space. You are driving a vehicle, and just focus on that.
Yeah.
Mother Nature's a really awesome tool for bringing us back into that moment. And we can meditate washing dishes. We don't need to close our eyes. We don't need to be sitting down. We could be standing. And that's when you practice mindfulness. So you're in that space. And you're washing your dishes. You see your dishes. You see what you're doing. You're feeling. You're hearing. You're in that moment.
It's just being very present with whatever you do.
That is it. And a really good example, on the weekend, we did a dream catcher, and for 2 hours, we sat there very quietly focusing on our dream catchers. There was just nothing other than that space.
Yeah, that's really powerful, isn't it? And it's interesting to know that you really don't need, you know, you can practice it any time of the day and anywhere you are.
That's right.
So even if you're working or just before you go into an important meeting, if you can just have a few moments to yourself.
Exactly.
Practice some breathing exercises.
Absolutely.
So it's just basically, it's something always at hand for you to use.
Exactly. It really can just be a minute, half a minute, whatever you can, just to be present, just to just connect. And your breath is the most, probably the easiest thing to connect with.
And may I ask you also, with a breathing exercise, could you give an example?
So generally I work on a 2 minute breathing exercise, mm-hmm. and so quite simply when I'm working with children or with myself or adults, we breathe in for 5 seconds, keeping our hands on our tummy, because when you breathe in you can feel your body change, and then when you breathe out, so breathe out for 5 seconds, and it is helping so many parts. It's getting oxygen to your brain and your heart, and you are, all your cells are just wakening up, buzzing with the energy that you're bringing into it.
Yeah, stimulating the vagus nerve as well, which helps again with all the organs.
Exactly. And equally, our breath with our lungs. So when my son is unwell with asthma, we use breathing as a way for him to really just focus on that and control. So we don't need to use as much medication at all. So it's simple as a 2 minute breath work, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, just concentrating on those deep breaths, trying to get that breath right down deep into your tummy, and then breathe out. So not raising our lungs, but breathing into our lungs and feeling our stomach rise. And that is key, and that will change, I guarantee you. That will change how you feel, how your family feel. It will make them feel, I mean, energetically, they'll have energy just through their breath. Because we, just daily, we are breathing constantly, very shallow breaths.
Yeah.
We don't really give out or allow ourselves time to think about it. And you can do it really anywhere.
And it's a pity that we really don't have that in-depth breathing anymore, because deep breathing is also a part of detoxing, and it's really a buzzword, and you think that you need special herbs or smoothies or whatsoever, but even just deep breathing is a very good point of getting rid of all the toxins in your body as well.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so simple.
It is really
it costs nothing
simple.
At all. It's
no. I like the idea also that it doesn't need to be that long, 1.5-2 minutes. So even if I am very busy, I can take that time to do something like that to slow me down and be more productive even afterwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
if you can do 2 minutes a day, you are definitely, it's great.
And it sounds less daunting as I have to go every Monday evening or
absolutely
somewhere. Yeah.
I think that's the hardest part, especially when you go from being single, without children, and you're used to having your 45 minutes, your hour time to meditate. As busy parents and mums, you don't have that quiet time, so it's okay. We don't need to feel guilty or bad.
Yeah.
You can still achieve that in 2 minutes.
Yes.
Not the same, obviously the same depth and the same level, but at least you're giving your body some time to relax and to let go.
It's a start, basically. It's just also the reassuring idea, you don't have to forego meditation just because you don't have any time.
That's it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a nice little gift in this interview. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you already mentioned that if you practice meditation, it has an effect on the hippocampus and the way you make decisions. So for people who are stressed, are there specific benefits for if they are meditating?
just with reducing stress. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest part is as soon as you allow your time. So if you're in a stress state and your frontal lobe is just not working, you're not able to make great decisions or clear decisions, then having just some time to connect with yourself in that space, and as I said, breath work, but doing that blend of your breath work, your mantras and your compassion meditations all together. It doesn't have to be one or the other, it can be a bit of all of them, and that will start working on reducing that stress, and you'll slowly start to find making decisions become easier again. The clarity comes back in those people that are highly stressed.
It's almost taking a mental step back from whatever you are doing, you know, or what they say, like, oh, just have a night sleep over it and you will look at it differently the next morning. Well, we don't always have that time, but meditating for a short period of time just offers a little bit similarity to that.
It does.
Yeah.
And different types of meditation is transcendental meditation,
okay,
which for 45 minutes, it's a deeper meditation, can offer more benefits than deep sleep. So it's a wonderful meditation to learn, and it's something that has to be taught by a transcendental meditation teacher. And with that comes your mantra.
Yeah.
That is given to you specifically. So that is yours for you, for that particular individual. Mm. And science has confirmed that type of meditation has got the greatest rewards. So, you know, heart disease, obviously stress, and a lot of medical conditions, it's been linked to reducing or at least reducing the impacts.
Mm.
So I think that's one meditation that probably will take a bit more time to allocate to do,
yeah,
but probably much better than, you know, the alternative.
Yes, and that is something you do as well or have done?
I have done,
yeah,
and I'm not a teacher. Mm-hmm. However, I would highly recommend if you're thinking, yeah, that you'd like to look at that, then to find a registered teacher to do that as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah,
yeah,
that's very interesting. So, how about you? How long have you been meditating? When did your journey start?
I think it's always been there. I think we, as children, we know we're in that mindfulness space and we're there, we're present, we're,
yeah,
playing with one thing, and that's all that's in our world.
True.
And we see that with our own children. They're totally engaged in whatever they're,
mm,
doing. So I think for all of us, it's intuitively always there. Consciously becoming aware of it, I would have started in my teens, and then actually allocating time and doing it and practicing my mantras was most when I was pregnant with my first child.
Okay.
And I used a birthing mantra to help me, and it was something that I did to connect to my baby and my breath. So there's those two meditations working together closely.
Yeah.
And then getting busy as a mum, then I sort of, it just didn't happen for a long time, and that's just very normal for all of us. Reconnected about 6 years ago,
mm-hmm,
and became very formal with that process of meditating daily and connecting to myself and to my space, and then my children started joining me.
Oh,
and it was something,
okay,
that we did together, and it became very clear from my children that it was helping them to deal with school and just life. And I've been guided to do that more formally,
mm,
with other children and run workshops and just seeing how children connect to themselves and then become very clear, very calm is incredible, and just it's such a beautiful experience.
Yeah, I noticed with my two daughters attending your meditation classes, I was my first day that I brought them, I'm like, oh, I'm interested how this goes. They're active children, how will this go down? And it went down awesome. They really enjoyed it. They love to come back every week, and I, you know, they were very happy and cheerful, but also, yeah, there was a relaxness about it, which was great because it was a Friday afternoon after a whole week of school. So we really went into the weekend in a relaxed, happy state. So, yeah, I was, yeah, surprised is maybe not the best word to say, but like, oh, wow, what an impact it has also on children.
I still get surprised. I think it's, it's not, you know, for every child, but then I've had some, you know, children come in with lots of energy, and, you know, within sort of 20 minutes, they're just finding their own, you know, their own space and the peace, and they're connecting, and there's this beautiful veil of calmness that comes over, and it's lovely. And to see the enthusiasm of children that want to keep coming back and who don't like to miss a session, it's wonderful to know that they've got this beautiful safe space to come into where we can refresh and get them ready for the next week of school.
Yeah, because also for children, it seems that they have more stress also nowadays. It's quite, I don't know, a lot of homework and a lot of things they have to do. And yeah, for them it's also an excellent tool to...
Exactly. Yeah. I think, and that is part of what I do with meditation is providing them tools to not to connect to everyone's stress around them. Mm. I think that's a really big thing. And it is about honouring their own body and their own space in that time. And I think one of the turning points in when I was developing and putting all of this together as a formal workshop was I was walking through our school and I heard... a beautiful little girl in grade 2 announced how stressed she was, and I thought it just doesn't seem right that this little 6-7 year old is saying how stressed she is. You know, this is a great time in your life. You should not be stressed, and it's a word that children use. I think it's quite, you know, I don't think we would have used it growing up. We wouldn't have been stressed.
No, I don't think I was particularly stressed at all.
Yeah,
no.
You just had a hard day at school. If you had tests, maybe, but you weren't stressed about it.
No, and so quick to forget, and that was basically it. There was nothing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we had lots of outdoor play, and we had lots of time in connecting with our nature, and actually looking and watching how, you know, bees connected with flowers, and I mean just watching how insects connect and fly by. That's mindfulness. We're watching. We're being present at that moment. We're seeing something fly by, and that is as simple as that. I think it doesn't have to be complicated.
No, it doesn't. We really don't need more complication in this world, I think. So, is this also your idea where Gillian Gekko came from? So that you think that I would not just, you know, provide it to the children locally, but I would like to.
Yes. You know, be able. So, as you said earlier, I came from a Reiki background, so metaphysical background, and that was my studies. And prior to that, I'd worked 20 years in health management. And what I've found is with metaphysics is there is essentially people believe it's very spiritual based, and there is an element of spirituality in metaphysics. Mm. However... for me to be able to reach greater communities, I needed to create something that was less spiritual inclined. So we're still using some similar concepts about protection, and we talk about energy as protection because energy is real. We have electricity. We know, I mean, our bodies are energy.
Yeah.
And that can be measured in calories. So for me, giggling geckos is something that every child in every household can align with. It is about connecting to themselves, and there is only that only one self, and giving them the tools and facilitators' tools to show and demonstrate to children and their families what they can do at home, just to to relax and connect, and through very simple exercises.
Yeah. So just quickly, if people want to know more about Collective Bliss or Gilling Geckos, before I go to my last question, where can they find you? What is your website? Do you have a website?
I do. It's www.collectivebliss.com.au. I currently practice out of a practice at Wellington Point here in Brisbane, called Wellness on Wellington. And we run our meditation sessions there for children on a Friday afternoon. And for any further other workshops that people would like to, then they can just contact me through Collective Bliss.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that insight on meditation and what it can do for us in terms of combating stress and dealing with stress. Would you have a last advice or a last word for our listeners? What will be your last tip?
My last tip for listeners would be, every morning when you wake up, one, the first thing to do when you open your eyes, be grateful. Find something, if you can't, just find something that you're grateful for. And if you can allow yourself just 5 seconds, just to even feel your breath come in and feel your breath go out, you're starting your day really well. Because I can guarantee you that it will continue. And be grateful, and that's the best way to start every day.
Thank you so much, Ricky. I really enjoyed talking to you. I think you shared with us a ton of information with some good, useful, handful tools which we can start basically tomorrow morning or within the hour. So thank you so much for your time. This was Susan Stein, nutritionist from the Ripple Effect of Food. Have a great day.